Hi, my name is Annie Chow. I am 30 years old. Today's date is January 11th, 2019. We are in Orlando, Florida, and I am interviewing my dad.
My name is Dr. Sun Chow. I am 63 years old. I am in Orlando, Florida. Today's date is January 11th, 2019. I am the father of the interviewer.
I'm excited to hear your story.
Well, let's try.
Let's get started. So, what was it like growing up in Vietnam? What was your family like? What were your parents like? What was life like in Vietnam growing up?
Well, yeah, you know, I was in Hue, that's the central part of Vietnam. I came from a family, poor family. I want to share with you that fact. My parents not go to school. Me and my father, he working very hard to take care of the family. My mother working hard too. However, she have a good vision for the children. She always want us try to make it to the school. We have 7 children in the family. My oldest sister didn't have chance to go to school. However, my oldest brother, who is in Texas now.
Pak Mai.
Yes. He the one listened to mom, even the hardship from the family, but he tried to make it to school. And he made it. He graduated at the nursing degree, and he working many years before he come over here. My next sister not have a chance to go to school.
She was raising everyone?
Yes.
Taking care of the house?
Yes, take care of mom, take care of the house, and try to work to make some money to support the family. And I have another brother who make it to school, and he had his education, and he joined the military.
Bak Khoai,
yes. So he was the military official of Air Force. You know that. Uh-huh. And then my older sister, who here with us now, Go Hua. She make it out to school. And she got her degrees in nursing degree and working many years before she came over here a couple of years ago, as you know. And then me. I try hard. My brother, my sister pushed me through school. And I was one of the very good students in my class.
One of the best.
Well, I'm not sure about that. However, I was one of the very good students in my class.
So what did your parents do for work?
My father working as the janitor in the hospital. He had, you know, to clean the hospital, one of the big hospitals in Hue.
Wow.
My mother, just small business, you know, trading, selling. Yeah, and the one thing I want to share with you is even the poor family, however, we hold hands together and grow. Actually, you know, I believe we did very well what my mother has tried to push us through the school. As you see, you know, 5 out of 7 go to school.
Yes.
And we are doing well.
So she, what did she
I
do?
I forgot to let you know, the youngest brother is your uncle.
Juduk.
Juduk. Yes. You know, he came here now. He's PhD in engineering now, right?
Wow. Right. All the kids do very well.
Well, I'm grow up during the difficult time in Vietnam, the war time.
And what was that like? Was it hard to get food and take care of each other, have the house taken care of?
Before the fall of Vietnam, of South Vietnam, food is not the issue. Yes, it's difficult for us because we come from the poor family. We don't have the fancy thing to buy to for entertain. However, food is not the issue, but we grow together. But, you know, before 75, during the wartime, there was times very difficult for us, especially test offend. I don't know you offensive test event.
Yes. Uh-huh.
I don't know you heard about that. You know, at the time the communists tried to come down to the whole city and the battle right around my house, and we have to escape the house, come to another area to escape the fighting.
Wow.
It very, very scary at that time.
So what was that like, just day to day? How did you manage to live not in fear? And if you were in fear, how did you go about your day?
Well, no, this, you know, because we're growing in the environment, fighting, war, and you heard the shooting almost every day, so get used to it. Uh-huh. And so you think that's normal to your life now. When I grow up, you know, when I recognize the war well, when I was in middle school. You know, when you're too young, you don't pay attention.
Don't,
but
yes.
When the middle school, you start to recognize the war, the hardship, the people. I very sad experience I've been through when I was in Hue and during my middle school. Is almost every day, I see the casket from the military official pass by my house.
Wow.
Because I'm living in the area close to the military community.
Uh-huh.
So whenever they have the people die from the community there, they have to pass by me to bring the casket to the to funeral. You know, it almost every day, I don't want to say every day, but probably, you know, so often, initially you see, you feel bad, you see sad, but
yes.
You know, after you expose it to so often, and then you think that's normal.
Almost the normal, yeah, for you.
Probably, you know, it shocked you when you heard that story. But
yes,
at the
I
time,
didn't know that.
I was, if we numb, you know, it's so often we become numb on that issue. Yeah, and then while in test offense in 1968, we got the problem, you know, the whole mm-hmm. city's been battle with fighting, you know, the American B-52 bombing to the city, and then we got the big cannon fire from the on the jungle up to us. You know, I see the people die,
yes,
around us. But time move on. You know, we still make it to school. In after test offense, I growing up, and I get into high school,
uh-huh,
years, and I still was one of the best students in my class. Even hardship, working half the family.
So you were working and going to school at the same time?
Yes. I'm glad you asked me that. When I was the sophomore, I don't work, but they had a very difficult exam before you pass from passmore to senior in Vietnam.
Like
at the
SAT?
Time. Yeah, something like that. But, you know, I passed with very high ranking. And then right in the senior year, I tutored to the student behind me to help to get some, make some money to help the family. And I continue to do that when I get into first year college until I get into medical school.
Wow.
So I do that for a couple of years to make some money to bring it back to the family, to support myself and help my parents.
Wow. That's amazing. I can't imagine to do that while all in the middle of the war going on in the background as well, to still go about the day-to-day life.
It's difficult, but we get used to it.
Yes.
And we thought that's normal.
And then you
Until now, when I come here for the last several years, I can't imagine how we survive with that.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I can't imagine. I can't imagine going to school and going to work with a war going on and then just trying to do the everyday life. Wow.
I did it. We made it.
So then you were in medical school when you escaped Vietnam. What was that like? What, preparing for that? Did you get a warning that you knew you were going to be able to leave, and then how did that happen? How were you able to escape?
I know in your mind, it should be something, you know, I can program for you. But actually, it's not. You know, after the fall of 75, when I got into medical school, it was 74. That's the 1 year before the fall of our South uh-huh. Saigon. So I had first year in medical student in Vietnam. When I got into second year, when the company took over the country, everything changed. Very sad, very frustrated. Every single class, including in my class, the communist government set the student working with them, and they look after almost every single student in the class, what you do, what you... They want to control.
Control what you learn?
Yeah. No, not what you learn, we want to control what you're doing, you know, because this is a new regime in the country. Mm-hmm. They like to protect the regime. And they put the student, they are our friend, you know, in the same class, but, you know, they pick the student and working with them, you know, and then they are the kind of the spy on the student in the class to report whatever, you know, if somebody do something wrong and, you know, wow. against the government. The education chain, all the universities, they have that service. Mm-hmm. Every single university, including, you know, medical school I was at. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it affects the way of the student thinking.
Yes.
Almost everybody, including me. I don't like to go to school at that time. I don't like to be in the class. I used to be the very good student, but when, after 75, when the communists that took over, the class changed. And since then, I don't study. I was not the same Sun Chow before.
Yes.
Before 75. Yes, I make it through the school. I learned how to pass the test, but I'm not good like I was before in terms of the learning and studying habit.
It seems like you took it with a grain of salt. You did what you needed to do, but you were not...
To get over with.
To get it over with. Yeah,
but
to pass.
Surely, we don't want to be there. Mm. At the time, you know, I learned people try to get out of the country. At the time, it's a 78, 80, 81, 82, the very high time, prime time for the escape from Vietnam to our country. Mm-hmm. Special event. I met your mom.
You met her in...
I met your mom when I was in pre-med year. I date her on the previous year. But I don't, you know, officially dating her until I get into medical school together.
You have to tell me your story again about how you met mom.
Beautiful story. When I was in pre-med year, she come from Saigon. Her family wealthy. Kind of wealthy in the city. You know, I still was a good student on my pre-med student, and I was told by her, "Why you pick me?" And then she shared with you. I'm not sure she shared with you.
She was a popular girl.
Yeah, she's one of the popular girls in the class, and she said, "Because you are the best student in the class." Actually, we know each other and then we fall in love. But, you know, when I get into first year, we together, we go to school together. And third year, second year, third year, and fourth year.
At so the she time, was, because she came from a wealthy family and you're from a poor family.
Poor family, yes.
Was there any, were her parents unsure or family unsure, or did they like you from the beginning?
That's the good question.
Was that like a social class?
That's the thing I feel low self-esteem about that. But, you know, but this is the kid. You know, you just fall in love because I love her, she loves me, you know? Mm-hmm. But we don't pay attention for that until the year after that. But fortunately, you know, her family very understanding, especially her father. Mm-hmm. Her father, I met her father. I met her mother. Her mother is a very quiet lady. But her father is outgoing. He welcomed me, you know. He made me feel comfortable when I talked to him.
Yes.
You know? And actually, at the time, you need to have the money to escape the country. One day, his father let me and her know we need to leave here to Saigon.
How did he know that?
He had a friend in Saigon. You know, his family is from Saigon.
Yes.
He had a house in Saigon, and his family is still in Saigon. He had connection with the people in there, and they plan to set up the big boat to get out the country. And he thought he can get me and his daughter in there mm-hmm. to get out of Vietnam. You need money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have money. Your mom had money because she's, you know, father is very wealthy and then they can support. However, he offered to me, her father offered to me, go with her, come there, and he would take care of us.
How long had you been with her at that time when that happened?
I know her since I was, you know, officially to be dating her is when I was 1st year, but we don't left medical school until 5th year. I know her for 5 years before we get out the way and come to Saigon. But unfortunately, you know, I have to wait in Saigon the whole year before I can get out of Vietnam. I don't know if you know that story or
not. No.
What happened is the big boat, her family prepared for it, doesn't work out well.
Why not?
For some reason, they're not able to allow that boat get out. You know, a lot of things going on with the communists, you know, the corruption and money and deal, you know.
So you had left Hue and then escaped to go to Saigon.
I don't need to escape from here to Saigon. I just left the school.
You just left?
Yeah.
So you
didn't... whole school's, you know, fighting up when they know me and your mom. Because your mom, I'm popular in a different way, but, you know, your mom is popular too. You know, they all know because she new student and she kind of pretty, you know.
So did you tell people you were leaving, mm-hmm. like your classmates, your teachers?
No. That, at the time, is very dangerous to let the people know you're leaving the country. Mm-hmm. So we left at night.
And you told your parents? So
I tell my family.
Your family was still in what?
My parent, my family support me to get out. Uh-huh. But, you know, how can get out? You know, of course, I didn't tell my family about, you know, her family would support me to get out.
I see.
I didn't tell them that. But my sister, you know my older sister?
Oh, huh.
No, Gocha.
Gocha.
Gocha is kind of, she have some money too. Mm-hmm. She helped me too. Because, you know, at the time, if people want to get out, they have the two groups of people. People can get out when they set up the boat and get out by themselves without much money. But the one like me, like her and her family, we know nothing about. We know nothing, and then we have to pay.
Yes.
You know, we pay quite much money, but I don't have it. My sister support me, and her family support me. This is the beautiful thing about me and your mom now. At the time, we're just dating, but we're not nothing yet.
Yes.
She had to, finally, we find a way to get out of the country. Her family found the connection to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to get out with her family. And I stay in Saigon for, I wait a couple, 1 month after her. She left before me.
With her family.
With her family. However, you know, her father nice enough to set up for me to come after him, after his route.
What did you do in Saigon while you were waiting?
Me and your mom waiting in Saigon the whole year. We get out from here together, but we come to Saigon, we're not able to make it out,
uh-huh.
and then we stay there the whole year.
And what did you do there? Who did you stay with?
I stay with my brother, you know, Bac Huai.
Bac Huai.
So he's a military, but his wife is in Saigon. He was in educated camp at the time, but I come to stay with her.
And what did you do? Did you work?
The whole year, I tried to do some kind of small business to get some money to pass by. And mom stayed with her parent, the big house in Saigon. Nothing to do except she's learning how to sewing and she do the kind of the woman work at home. and take care.
Alterations and stuff.
Take care of your aunt, Yi Bai.
Oh, Yi Bai. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole year until we get out.
Wow.
You probably heard about the story. She get out before me. I get out the country 1 month after that.
Mm-hmm.
The surprise thing, you know, when she come to the same, I came to the same camp in Thailand where she was at the time.
So her family took a boat. Was it a boat to
the big boat? You know, they had the organization. They get the money and then set up to get the people out. So her family pay for that route and go first. And they have me to go to the next route. Right?
Uh-huh.
You see that?
So were you just waiting until they said, oh, today is the day that you can go?
Yeah.
So you didn't know. Each day you didn't know when you'd
you
be able to leave?
You know nothing. Because the time is very dangerous if your people know you plan to escape.
Were you scared that anyone from Hue could contact you and ask you, where are you? Where did you go? Did you live in fear like that?
I don't
think
they will care. You know, at the time, they don't care who we get. So, you know, it's messed up, you know, the reputation, the school, the people left the school. Mm-hmm. However, I don't think they care what I'm doing in Saigon. Mm-hmm. No, I was not bothered by anything from Hue Medical School at all.
I see.
But finally, I get out. You know, I get out, and when I landed in Thailand, You know, at the time, you know, you get out, you're not sure you will come. You will arrive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you heard about the 50% of people get out of Vietnam at the time, down in the ocean.
Do you remember that day that you left?
Yeah. Your mom left before me. Uh-huh. Her boat get private.
The pirates?
Yeah, private. They're private. You know, they bother, you know. But she okay.
Mm-hmm.
My boat, 1 month later, nada, nothing.
Nothing. And how many
I'm
days?
Sitting in the boat, and 2 days later, two nights, and I get into the land of Thailand.
Wow.
At the, you know, a little village on the ocean of the Thailand. And I stay there a couple of days, and then they transfer me to the camp, the name of the camp called Lamson.
Lamson.
This is the amazing moment. I came there, and your mom was in the camp already. She heard the announcement. The boat 110 from Vietnam come, and they call the name.
Wow.
And she heard my name. She heard my name. She crying and she come out to welcome me.
So she didn't know. She didn't know until
no,
she heard me.
No, nobody can predict. Nobody can plan where you go when you get out. But I was so lucky, you know. Now I come out easily, no event. Now I meet my sweetheart again at the refugee camp.
What was that like seeing her? When you didn't know
that
you could
hear. I can't tell you how my feeling at the time. I was so happy. You know, that's somebody up there set me up for that. Don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, 50% people were down in the ocean when they get out. 50 left, come on over. And then now, I come to the same camp where she there with her brother and her father your aunt.
Wow. So then you, 50% that your boat wouldn't make it, but then also you may not have gone to that same camp.
Exactly. Exactly. Nobody can predict that happened at all. But that's why I told you and I told my your sibling, you know, somebody up there set me up. Me and mom have to be together.
Meant
and
to
have
be.
Have you guy with me, right?
Meant to be.
Right?
Wow.
Yes. So that's the amazing story I want to share with you, you know. That's why me and mom been with. We've been together almost 38 years now with three beautiful children.
Wow. Wow. So then
we have more things to talk about your mom later.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, more to talk about.
But I think, you know, I finally get out. And
how long were you at the camp in Thailand?
I was there only 4 months. No, 5 months. I got to Thailand in March, and I left Thailand to land in California in August. Only 5 months.
So what was it like in the refugee camp? I'm so interested to hear the day-to-day life, what it was like.
It's difficult. Difficult, you know, because it's very limited hygiene, you know, thing to do. And then food, they provide food for you. You know, if you have the money from somebody gave it to you, then you can get food. You can do a lot of things, buy mm-hmm. clothing. I have nothing.
Did they have classes or?
They do. They have the church.
Jobs.
They build up the church. They have the people who teach English because everybody plan to come to try to get to the country. We need to learn foreign language to prepare, finally settle somewhere somehow. Uh-huh. So they have that service because the camp there many years before we came.
Okay.
Right? They've been set up, but you know, it's still poor. The environment is not like at home. Uh-huh. But freedom.
Yes.
We don't be bothered by you know, spy student, you know.
That's a great feeling.
I have a great feeling.
Worth it.
Her family there with me, and I come there. I tell you this story. I was very good cooking at the time. When I come to join the family, I was the one try to cook for your mom is not used to be cooker.
Now
she bypassed me easily. But at the time, you know, I was the one take care, you know.
So her entire family, her brothers and sisters with her parents were in.
Not all whole family, but you know, Ba Hua, Ji Bai, and your grandfather, you know, her father there.
Her mother, was she there too?
No. Her mother's still in Vietnam. He passed away over there.
Oh.
Very sad, you know. They tried to come over later, but you know we couldn't make it. She couldn't make it because she had breast cancer. She passed there. Why we all here?
Oh wow.
Yeah. Anyway, we in August I came to California. Your mom came to Texas. We separate again.
And how did you get
the
to California?
The family got sponsored by your aunt Ji Nhung. She was in Texas. She sponsored your mom. Uh-huh. And my cousin, Chien, sponsored me.
Oh, Chu Chien?
Chu Chien, yes. He sponsored me to California. And I was there since August until Christmas time.
I remember your story of your first day, your first meal in America, the Big
Mac.
What
do you remember? What's the story I shared with you at the day?
That you had the Big Mac, and it was
exactly.
The best.
I want to repeat
meal.
That story for you, you know. Yes, that's the...
The all-American meal.
Amazing feeling when you first come to America and eat Big Mac. I still share the story with the people, you know. What is the best food you come to stay, you know, when you come to stay? And it's a Big Mac. Actually, I share that story with the wedding of one of my nephew in California.
Oh.
Yeah, that's yes. And I stayed there for 3 months. Then the first job I got in California, you can guess. I'm working in Denny's restaurant.
The Denny's restaurant?
Mm-hmm. As a busboy.
How did you get that job?
My cousin tried to get it for me. You know, at the time, it's easy, you know. Not many refugees come and they find a job for me. That's a very easy job anyway. You know, in and out. But I work only 1 week.
Uh-huh.
But the first job, you know, everything new to me, you know, no English. And
how old were you?
Everything's scary.
How old were you when you came?
24 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
I only was 24 years old. Yeah, 55 and 80. Well, 25 years old, 24. 25.
Did you have any idea of what to expect? Did someone tell you what America would be like? Or what did you think it would be? And what did it live up to what you were thinking?
Everybody wanted to come to state, United States. You know, you had changed to settle many other countries at the time. However, everybody wanted to come here. And you know, this is the wonderland, freedom, opportunities. I appreciate to be here now. So you came here, you have changed to do as your potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you see, I will share with you a story how I go through from being here, go back to school,
yeah,
set up the practice, working. You know? So I left California and come Texas with my sweetheart, family.
So did you call each other, or how did you know that she was over there?
No, we know. We just communicate.
10 minutes. 10 minutes left.
Okay. So let's go on, you know, when I come to the stage and I have to go back to school, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Your mom and your grandfather, the father, support me and let me try, ask me to try back to medical school. I went back to college after 1 year working to get money, and we get married at the time.
And then went back to school.
Went back to school.
Right after a wedding. Right, no honeymoon.
Right. Yes, you're right. Went back to school, and I was lucky enough, 3 years in college, I make it back to medical school at San Antonio's. And then come over here for residency.
Wow.
Kind of difficult, but I made it. And at the time we get married, and I have, you know, I have your brother. We have your brother.
Yes.
When I was in second year medical school, we have you. When I was finished medical school, you still see the picture. Your mom hold you.
Yep.
In the hand when
med school graduation. Yes.
Yeah.
And then Lum at the end of residency.
Yes, the Lum at the end of residency. You know, it's difficult, but I make it through. I work very hard with the support of the family, and I make it through school, and I come here for residency. And I shared with her earlier, you know, you follow my step, my footstep. I've been at the residency here for 3 years. I come out of practice for the last several years, except for here.
And that's what I want to know is you have always worked so much every day. And it's, how are you able to work so hard, but like, you're still so happy and positive?
I heard that comment from my college, but I didn't pay attention to find the answer why until you asked me. I think about it, I thought, you know, the three big factors affect the way I live now. I grew up from the Buddhist family. And when I come over here, I practice Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, every day I practice meditation. I go to the temple. I'm glad we have the master Thich Nhat Hanh Thien to set up the White Sand Buddhist Center.
Yes.
In Mims. And that's place I worship, and I come almost every Sunday when I'm in town. So spiritual practice is one big factor. Meditation, practice Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
But that second big factor is the family, supportive family. Your mom, all the way be my manager, my supporter, my CFO, my everything. Without her, I don't know, you know, how if my life would be like this. And I have three beautiful children. You, your brother, you all come together.
Mm-hmm.
The family is the big factor to support you, to keep you happy. But I have my own philosophy how to be happy. Many times I share with you, you know, giving, you don't lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Giving, you gain back.
Yes.
You don't know when, you don't know how, but it's there.
Yes.
It's there for you. So I believe giving is the thing we should do. Helping the people. And I strongly believe if you make the people happy, you help the people other happy, the happiness will return to you. That's why you see how I work. Long hours, right?
Yes.
However, I've been helping the people. The happiness for my patient, my college, my student, and everything bows back to me.
Makes you happy.
Made me happy. I long hour working, but I go to the nursing home, I see my patient happy, I happy, you know. So happiness of the others is the key factor bounce back for you, for your happiness.
Yes.
So I think I would like to share with you and give you the advice now.
Yes.
I don't have a big lesson to teach you. However, you look to what I share with you. Do your job mm-hmm. with passion, integrity, honest. Take care of your patient. Take care of others with compassion and respect. Those five things, easy to say, but take you practice and thinking about it. Thinking about it and try to practice every single day. And I don't know you remember, but sometimes I just say this is my wisdom words.
Wisdom words, yes.
However, I think I've been thinking about it and practice every day of my life. Do your best. Giving when possible. Expect nothing and appreciate everything. Your happiness will be within yours.
Yes. It's so true. Very true.
So probably we run out of time now, but I would like to say thank you for the PNI have let us have a chance to share the story with our children. And thank you very creative mind to make this happen. And I want to thank you, America. Right?
Yes.
The wonderland.
Thank you for the opportunities.
The opportunity and nurture me and my family for the last several years. Here where we now. We're so happy to be here. And we're happy to see the family together.
So really, you and mom are the American dream.
That's the people who say that, but I will try my best. And my dream is, I still have a dream to share with you. My dream is someday I will have my assisted living facility behind my office. And someday you will be the doctor to care for all my patients. And I will become the director activity to entertain my patients there. How about that?
You can sing them the happiness song.
Yes.
You can sing them the happiness song. That's right.
I've been singing every Sunday at White Sand Center. Whenever I wake up, I feel happy. Aware of my eyes, I feel happy. Aware of my health, I feel happy. Because I have learned to look deeply. Whenever I walk, I feel happy. Whenever I sit, I feel happy. Whenever I rest, I feel happy. Because I have learned to look deeply. Here and now. Here and now, here and now, the two